Well, you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And it really goes without saying that we live in a world that is increasingly trying to press us and conform us into its mold, into a world system that desires us to follow along with the flock like a bunch of lemmings jumping off of a cliff. And that's the world that we live in, the world system that is pervading, and it seeks to draw you in. I'm just thinking about marketing and this multi-billion dollar industry that is built around showing you and telling you what is highly prized, what is valuable in this life, what is to be pursued, and what is precious in this life. Just a survey of the billboards on the way to church today tells me that fitness and beauty, tells me that beer and women, it tells me all these things that the world is selling, that these things are precious and these things are to be desired. But our citizenship is not in this world anymore. Our citizenship is in heaven. We've been redeemed from this present evil age, and we are no longer ensnared by its deceitful desires, and we no longer value its goods. So it doesn't matter what's valuable in the world's eyes, does it? Because the world is passing away, and as are its desires, and those who have hitched themselves to this world are passing away with it. So it really doesn't matter what is valuable in the world's eyes at all. But it's as infinitely valuable. It's of infinite concern. It should be to us what is valuable in God's sight. What God says is precious is of infinite importance, isn't it? Because if anybody has a true estimation of what is valuable, what is worthy of a life's pursuit, what we should desire in our lives, it would be God. It would be Him who is true. If the God who owns the cattle on all the hills, and if the God who says all the gold and silver is mine, and says that this particular thing is precious, that thing indeed is precious. It would be one thing if some bum came in here and said, this meal that I have that I dug out of the trash is precious to me because without it, I would die. It would be an entirely different thing if Bill Gates walked into the door and said, this, what I hold in my hand, my bank account, and what I have at my estate is very precious. But much higher than that, again, the God who owns all things, when He says something is precious, it is altogether precious. So with that, please turn your attention to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. We can just pick up verse 3 because it's worth reading. They're all worth reading, though, aren't they? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, so that's our context. It tells us who we're talking about. We're talking about Christ here. As you come to Him, verse 4, Him speaking of Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. There we have God looks upon all creation, looks upon throughout all time, and He says, this Christ is chosen and precious. In God's eyes, Christ is precious. Verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. There we are again. Christ is precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. The King James renders it this way, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. I've entitled this message, The Preciousness of Christ. It's not my intention to work my way through verses 3 through 8, but focus in on this glorious reality, the preciousness of Christ. It says, unto you, therefore, the King James rendering of verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he, speaking of Christ, is precious. We read in verse 4 that Christ is chosen and precious in the eyes of God. Verse 7, that those who believe, Christ is precious. What the Father deems precious, so do His children. So it is with Christ that is precious in the sight of the Father, so it is with us who believe. This isn't some complex doctrine that only the seasoned saints and scholars in this place will understand. It's something that the babe in Christ will know. It's something that the babe in Christ can search their heart as well as the seasoned saint and know and test and prove and proclaim that Jesus Christ indeed is precious. This morning we'll be considering the threefold preciousness of Christ. Christ is precious in His deity. Christ is precious in His humanity. And Christ is precious as displayed in His works. The truth rings loudly in all of them that Christ is precious. We can spend, and we will spend, brethren, eternity searching out the preciousness of Christ. But these are just three. We'll be considering Christ's personal preciousness, His preciousness in Himself, the innate value and worth of Christ. Nothing that's outside of Himself, nothing that He does apart from Himself. Everything comes back to the person of Jesus Christ and the infinite value that is found in Him. But before we begin, I must caution you. There's an error that we can fall into. There's an error of exalting the work of Christ above the person of Christ. We can talk all about the cross. We can talk all about the crucifixion and resurrection. But we sell ourselves so short, brethren, if we look at just those works and just those things that Christ has accomplished and not trace that back to the person of Christ, the man, Jesus Christ, who from the very depths of His heart walked out the obedience to go to the cross, out of the love that was found within Him, went to the cross for us. If we just look at the works and not the person, we miss out on Christ. You just touch the fringes. We've got to trace the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice back to the excellency of His person. While men gain stature for things that they've done, all of Christ's works emanate from His glorious person. Had Christ never taken a single step in working out the salvation of man, had He never repaired the breach, had He never wept a tear, endured no agony, shed no blood in the redemption of His church, had He not bestowed a single blessing on His people, He would still have been the eternal Son of God, divine and matchless, glorious and the object of supreme love, adoration, and worship of all the celestial beings. Do not skip the person of Christ. Were His work of salvation never written in the annals of history, the angels would still resound around the throne of Christ. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. His sacrificial work illustrates His marvelous grace and love towards sinners. The cross illustrates something of the person of Christ. All the works owe their value imparted to them by the essential character of Christ. It's because He is precious that His works are marvelous in our sight. Every token of love and every grace, every mercy, all beauty are manifestations of the God who is in this person, Jesus Christ. Having been forewarned, brethren, consider the personal preciousness of Christ. Consider first the preciousness of Christ and His deity. The Apostle Paul starts his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word," speaking of Christ, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. Before the beginning began, Christ was there. He already was. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Seeing in the beginning of time, the eternal pre-existent Christ was there. Before the universe began, the second person of the Trinity was. He always existed. He was already there in the beginning with God, and He was God. He is God. Moses states in the Psalms, "Before the mountains were formed, before they were ever brought forth, You were. You who formed the earth and all the world from everlasting to everlasting, You are God." We're speaking of the deity of Christ. Rightly did Thomas answer Him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus Christ, He is God. He is Creator. He is glorious. Every perfection, the rain that comes even this afternoon, looked at the radar and it's just huge mass of rain. What does it say? It speaks of something of His creative power. I read Joshua's Facebook post about a beautiful flower, and he challenged you, if you were tasked with creating and thinking up, imagining every flower, could you even come close to what is shown in creation? The answer is no way. Never. I think of ruffled hibiscus flowers. I think of lilies whose fragrances fill the whole house. I think of roses who bloom white and open up brilliant red, all of which point to the precious imagination of Christ and His creative power and His creative splendor and majesty. I'm speaking of the deity of Christ. All these point to the precious fragrance and beauty of our Creator and Lord Jesus Christ. Gold and silver, diamonds and rubies, precious metals and jewels. How much more precious is the One who created them all? I tell you, Christ is precious. Brethren, these are but the fringes. These are just outer parts of who He is. What we see and behold is but fallen creation. But how beautifully it tells us even now, how clearly it proclaims and declares His glory. If you could combine all the glory and splendor that we as a church have tasted of Christ, I tell you this, we aren't even ankle deep. But we will be able to plunge the depths throughout eternity of this glorious and precious Christ. Consider the preciousness of Christ and His absolute deity. The One who is God is also Savior. How precious are every evidence of His divine strength, stability, and durability of the God of our salvation. He is God, so He has the authority to grant life to whom He chooses. And He has the ability also to keep all who come to Him. None who trust in Him will be put to shame. All who call upon His name shall be saved, and all who come to Him, none shall be cast out. He is precious as He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. Christ is precious as He is the Lord of all. He is precious as He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And before Him every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Angels and demons, the highest and the lowest of man, they will all bow before this Christ because He is God. From the powerful and prestigious to the low and debased, all will bow before King Jesus. He is precious as a distinct person of the Godhead. Precious as God over all, blessed and forever. Amen. Christ is precious in His deity. Consider also the preciousness of Christ in His humanity. We proclaim the deity, an absolute deity of the Son of God. Now we proclaim his perfect humanity. Contemplate the preciousness of Christ in his condescending stoop to our humanity, his personal alliance with our nature, this one who is great and powerful, majestic God, for whom and by whom all things are created, and how he becomes a man. I'm not talking about somebody moving from the Dominion to the east side. I'm not talking about a millionaire philanthropist moving to a third world country. I'm talking about the God who is blessed forever becoming a man. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who is God, humbling himself to come and be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. A man, the lowest of the sinful creation. Angels sinned and he didn't become an angel. Man sinned and he becomes a man to save man. To be a servant to his creation and die the most debased death at the hands of creation to save those who rebelled against him. I'm telling you about the preciousness of the man, Jesus Christ. He came in human flesh, real and physical, yet holy and undefiled. Christ always existed as God, but he was made a man. If you could squeeze the ocean into a thimble, it couldn't compare. It couldn't touch God becoming a man. What a profound mystery, the Maker made a man, the Sustainer also being sustained. His was a humanity identical with his people in every way, but original and actual sinfulness, for he knew no sin. He was made a man like us in every way except sin, so he could save us from the penalty of sin. He knew no sin, yet he was the sin bearer. Another profound mystery, brethren. Octavius Winslow points out the glorious sin, how glorious this sin bearer was. Not in part, but the whole, all the transgression of his people were laid upon him. He alone could bear sin, for he was free from its corruption. Had there been the slightest breath of pollution adhering to him, had one drop of the moral virus circulated his veins, it would have rendered him utterly and forever incapable of presenting to the justice of God an atonement for sin. But yet how precious then is the Beloved, how precious is our Lord Jesus as bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Think of his perfect humanity, humanity free from sin and therefore capable of dying for the ungodly. A humanity laden with sorrow and therefore capable of sympathizing with the afflicted. Precious to our hearts as God, precious as man, precious as both, united in one, inconceivably and eternally precious is he whose name is wonderful. Cite Winslow again, precious humanity, precious to humanity when our human friendships are changed. Other human love is chilled and other human sympathy is exhausted. You may find in Christ, when those things are gone, you may find in Christ an evergreen, a perennial stream, a gushing fountain of unchanging affection and tenderness, a sympathy meeting and satisfying to our utmost capacity, to all our heart's deepest pantings. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Precious humanity that dries every tear and bears each burden, that is touched with each infirmity, that soothes each sorrow, and that relieves each temptation of his people. This is the man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of his people. Made like us in every way. except sin, made like the person that you look at in the mirror in every way but sin. How could it be that God became a man? Why but for infinite love? In all your deepest grief, all your lonely sorrows, your sore trials, fiery trials, your pressing needs, your daily infirmities, the crouching temptations, oh, repair to the aid, the sympathy, and the intercession of His humanity. Learn how precious Christ is to the hearts of His suffering and sorrowing ones. Run to Christ. He was made like us in every way, touched with infirmity, tempted in every way like we are, but yet without sin. And now He is able to help all those who are tempted. He's able to help His brethren. So Christ is precious in His deity, being creator and sustainer of all. He is precious in His humanity as our sympathetic high priest, made like us in every way, save sin. Lastly, consider Christ as precious in His works. Nowhere do we find such a glorious view of the preciousness of Christ than at the cross. While all creation declares the glory of God, the tree on which Christ hung proclaims it loudest of all. Christ is precious in the work of the cross as He pays our debt, opens the prison gates, breaks your chains, and sets you free from the law's curse, from sin's condemnation, and from death's finality. Look at the preciousness of His sacrifice, Winslow writes, which is a sweet-smelling savor unto God. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, consider it. The perfume of that sacrifice going up, as it were, before God, continually ascending from the golden altar before the throne in one continuous cloud of incense, wreathing, surrounding His people, perfuming their prayers, accompanying their offerings, and presenting with acceptance every breath of devotion, every accent of praise, every token of love that His people here lay at His feet. Brethren, if it weren't for the sacrifice of Christ, no prayer that's lifted in this room on Wednesday nights would ascend above the ceiling. Not a single act of devotion, offering, or love would be found worthy or acceptable in His sight. Oh, but because of the precious Christ and His work on the cross, they're acceptable to Him. He is a God who answers prayer. We can come before our great God with boldness, not in our own name, not in our own works, not according to what we've done or how our week is gone, but because of the name of Jesus Christ and His perfect righteousness, because of His satisfactory sacrifice. By one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That one offering offered once for all was so divine, was so holy, was so complete, was so satisfactory. It has forever perfected the pardon, perfected the justification, perfected the adoption, and will perfect the sanctification when it perfects the glory of all of God's elect. A perfect sacrifice by a perfect man, Jesus Christ. These are the works of Christ that proclaim His preciousness. To those who believe, He is precious. How we ought to continually praise the Lamb for His sacrifice that secured our eternal salvation. How precious is the righteousness of Christ, that act of righteousness that He earned as He always did what was pleasing to the Father. As He fulfilled every stroke of the law and never sinned in word, thought, or deed. How precious is that righteousness of Christ. How precious is the righteousness that robes you, completely covering every deformity, that presents you to God as perfect and blameless, It's that righteousness that clothes you and makes you acceptable. The righteousness of Jesus Christ covering His people. We could consider how precious a friend we have in Jesus. How His love is infinite and boundless, unchanging due to circumstance, never chilled by indifference. How it never grows weary or uninterested with time, nor dull in its expression. He is truly a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We could consider His office as the head of the church, its Savior, its foundation, its cornerstone. We could consider His authority as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose scepter sways with power and authority, yet He does not break a bruised reed or quench a smoking flax. Brethren, these are the precious works of Christ. These are His precious offices. These are His precious relationships to His people. This is the precious Christ. Time and eternity won't suffice to exhaust the preciousness of this Christ. But before time escapes this morning, let me ask you, is Christ precious to you? Is this one whom we've talked about, this one who I've laid before you, this God, this perfect man, this one who works glorious wonders, is He precious to you? We can see from the text to whom He is precious. It's unto you who believe He is precious. Faith is the optic system of the redeemed. It's how we see and behold Christ. It's through the eye of faith that we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's through faith you see Christ's sacrifice as sufficient. It's through faith that you believe the gospel. It's through faith that you are saved. Thus unto those who believe, He is precious. Unless you believe, unless you've laid hold of this Christ through faith, no matter what you say, no matter what your heart tells you, unless you are believing in Jesus Christ, the affection that you may feel for Him is not precious. You don't see Him as precious. So it's only through faith that Christ is precious. It's only those who believe. It's only those who have laid hold of Him by casting off their works, by forsaking every means of saving themselves and laid hold of Jesus Christ through faith. If He is precious to you, tell me how you relate to Him. How is it that you interact with this Christ? How do you react to those to whom you regard as precious? I was talking to David Luciano at the Alex and Nishay's wedding. We were talking about work, and he's talking about the challenging elements of when he's laying drywall and he's thinking through things and working through a problem. But oh, when he's just sitting there monotonously pounding through the nail gun, hitting nails, hanging drywall, where do his thoughts go? He's sitting there thinking about Dorothy. You know, that Dave Luciano face kind of glazes over with that smile. And I just think about her, brother. Why? Because she's precious to him. He thinks of her often because she's precious. We look to those who are precious frequently. When Jamie and I put Elijah down for sleep and we sit next to each other on the couch, it's not long before we reach for the baby monitor and look at him. Then he kind of stirs and we'll look at him again and just sit there and kind of look at the baby monitor. We'll go up into his room and just look at him over and over again, looking at him. Why? Because he's precious. To those who are precious to you, you speak to them often. You commune with them frequently. You consider them above yourself and you reverence them. The Lord tells us Himself that our love and reverence for Christ is demonstrated in obedience. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that you keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Walking in His ways, submitting yourself to Him, because Christ is precious, it is not a burden. It's an act of devotion and love to walk out obedience and delight yourself in Christ because He is precious. If the views of the preciousness of Christ are faint and small in measure to you in this place, if you can say, yes, Christ is precious to me, but He is not as precious as He should be, say, do not become discouraged. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Plead with Him that He remove the high places in your life that obscure the views of His beauty. Ask him to purge you of the idols and the competing affections, and He'll surely do it. Pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal more of Christ to you and that He would become increasingly precious to you. Has your love for Christ grown cold? He sent His Son. Christ became a man. He humbled Himself to die at the hands of His creation, to save you from your sin, to show you His infinite worth, and to become precious to you. Will He not draw you near? His promises tell us He will. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Draw near in thinking of Him often. Draw near in looking to Him and communing with Him in prayer and through His Word. Reverence Him and obey Him, and you'll find the fruit of Christ being precious to you is also the means by which Christ becomes more and more precious. Let all your thoughts and affections and admirations be concentrated in that precious Savior who took all your sin and deformity, who took sorrow upon Himself and transferred all His righteousness, beauty, and blessing upon you. This is how affection for Christ grows. This is how He becomes more and more precious to us. This is how the eyes of our heart are enlightened more and more to behold and know the love of Christ. So Christ is precious to those who believe. It is through faith that we believe and are saved. Only then can we see Christ as precious. But not all have faith, and there are those to whom Christ is not precious. You may be sitting in church today, but to you Christ is not precious. We live in a culture where a majority would readily say that they love and believe in Jesus Christ. But there are few to whom Christ is precious. Most of our culture thinks that you can live however you want, just don't leave home without Jesus. But I say to you, if that's you, Christ is not precious to you. This great and glorious God that I've told you about, this great and perfect God-man, in all of His work to save, in all of His work to show you and demonstrate the beauty of His nature, He is not precious. But He can be. He can be. He's precious. Precious Lord Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, if you were precious to me, you would keep my commandments. This is Christ's litmus test for your love for Him. If you love Him, you will obey Him. But how few who say they love Him actually keep His commands? If you do not obey His commands, then Christ is not precious to you. To you who won't give up your idols and your sin, I tell you, Christ is not precious to you. If you elevate Mary to superior, equal, or even slightly subordinate to Christ, I tell you that He is not precious to you. There is no man or woman even close in comparison to Jesus Christ. None alone is worthy of adoration and veneration. I think of praying to supposed saints and Marys, and I think that there are conversations I have with my wife that I will have with no other. But if I have conversations of that nature with others, it shows that my wife is not precious to me. If you pray to another, I tell you that Christ is not precious to you. If Christ has been reduced to your homeboy or something like a buddy, he is not precious to you. There are those who dress up like him in Halloween and go to sporting events dressed like him. I tell you, he is not precious to you. You make a mockery of him. You trample underfoot the Son of God, treating as an unholy thing the blood of his covenant. If he is not precious to you, if you do not love Christ as he defines it through his word, consider the words of 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. If he is not precious to you, you are under a curse. The one that you've marginalized, the one that you've trivialized, the one that you've loved half-heartedly, the one that you've not considered precious, this one will be your judge. And you will stand before him. You will stand before this judge, not in the righteousness that I spoke of earlier, not in the righteousness of Christ, but in the filth and guilt of your sin to give an account of what you've done in this life. And then you will be condemned. If you have no love for the Lord, if he is not precious to you, if he does not define the why and for whom you live, then he is not precious to you and you are under a curse. But there's good news. This one whom you've made light of, and this one that you've played down, he became a curse to redeem those from the curse, those who have broken his laws and sinned against him. He was nailed to the cross where he bore the consequences of sin, the penalty that your lack of love deserves, that you would be saved and reconciled to God. If you would but repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the debt of your sin will be paid. For in Christ, in his righteousness, it will all be counted to you. And with unregenerated eyes of faith, you will see the one who is altogether lovely, the precious Lord Jesus. Brethren, may Christ be more and more precious to us. Though we be only ankle deep, let us plunge deeper now. Tear down the high places. Plead that the Lord would send his Spirit to show and reveal the glory of Jesus Christ. He is indeed precious as God. Look out into his creation and see his beautiful splendor, his creative majesty. This one who is precious is God. This one who is precious is also man. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the one who is able to sympathize with every sorrow and weakness. He is able to help in times of temptation and need. Run to him in those times, for he indeed is a precious Savior. He is precious in his works. He is precious in his salvation. He is precious in his offices. He is precious as the head of the church. Christ is precious. If you don't know him, he is a precious Savior. He is a complete Savior. May he be more precious to us today. Amen.